Hi, this is Mark. I'm excited to share this message with you. I've entitled Sons First, Then Servants. One of the most common prayer requests Christians have is asking God what He wants them to do for Him. Their entire focus is on doing something for God, and as admirable as this is, it reveals a weakness in the believer. The weakness is in the fact that they're focused on what they can do for God instead of who they have become as children of God. We must first discover who we are as sons of God. Then we must lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. It's only then that we are eligible to serve Him and not before. I hope that this message will bless you. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Father God, I am so excited about Your Word. I am excited about what Your Holy Ghost is showing me and revealing to me. And I pray that this evening that I would have the words to speak to convey this message to other people so that they can be helped. I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father God, thank You. Thank You for the calling that You place on every one of our lives. And I thank You most importantly that we identify ourselves in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we taught last week regarding an identity crisis. We're going to kind of go on with that same idea this evening. And I really hope that this ministers to you, because there are so many people in the body of Christ that are just so frustrated trying to figure out what it is that God wants them to do. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What is it, God, that You've called me to do? And I think in a lot of cases, I see that frustration. But I think in a lot of cases that the individual really has the cart in front of the horse. And the reason I say that is because as I look back in my own life, I look back 25 years now since I committed my life to the Lord, and I think about the first things that I did wasn't so much about what it was that God wanted me to do as much as figuring out, or not really figuring out, but just discovering who I am now that I'm born again. And I remember as a 25-year-old young man sitting and watching Kenneth Copeland, as a matter of fact, teaching about the in Him scriptures and going through those in Him scriptures, in Him, in whom, in Christ. I know Kenneth Hagin taught a lot about that. To discover my identity in Christ Jesus. See, I no longer am, I'm not supposed to identify in the person that used to exist in this body. And I've been born again. And my identity now is in Christ Jesus. See, here's what I see. And I see this as being a real problem. People trying to identify with what God called them to do in the body versus identifying with who they are as born again children of God. And that's a huge difference. You know, instead of seeing themselves in the family of God, they're more concerned and they're spending more of their time trying to figure out what they should do for Him. And that could be very frustrating, and that can cause a person, I believe, to really spend a whole lot of time unnecessarily focusing on the wrong thing. See, first, we have to recognize and discover who we are. Who am I now that I'm born again? And what happened to that old man? You know, the scripture that came to mind as I was preparing for this message was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If you have your Bible, you'd like to open that with me. Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote this. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. That old man died the death of the cross in Jesus. He died. He ceased to exist. We're brand new, born again creations, children of the living God. Our identity now is in Christ. We have to see ourselves in him, part of his body, part of the family of God, and stop identifying with ourselves, looking at ourselves. And I think if we can do that, if we can see that, hey, it's no longer me, it's Christ in me. See, look at another scripture in Colossians chapter 3. Paul again is writing to the Colossians. And he says, let's begin in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. That old man ceased to exist. You're a new creation in Christ. Your life is not the same life that you used to have. So, as you're looking at, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What's more important is to recognize, okay, here's who I am. Because this is who God has made me. I receive this by faith. There's nothing we can do. We can't earn this. There's nothing we can do. We didn't deserve it. It's by faith. It's through grace. We receive it by faith. But it's something that it's a gift to us. This new person is a gift that we receive. This identity in Christ, it's a gift that we receive. We can't do anything to earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to deserve this. He made us a brand new person. This is who we are. Now, from this knowing of who we are now, we're going to be able to discover, and we'll see this later on, what we are to do. But we can't focus first on the doing and miss the being, who we are. This is who I am. This is not what I'm going to do, but this is who I am. I am a child of the living God. I have been reborn. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's who you are. You can't earn it. You can't do anything. We didn't do anything to deserve it. It's who we are. And this comes to you as a revelation. And how does it come? It's by looking at these verses. It's by looking at, back in Galatians, looking at Galatians 2:20 once again. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you look over at Galatians 3, Christ, verse 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. He was made the curse for us. He bore the pain and the suffering in our place. We receive it by faith. We receive this new identity in Him. Hallelujah. See, if we will focus on Him, what He's done for us, who He's made us, what He's accomplished on our behalf, focus on that. Build our faith up in that first. See ourselves as the new creation in Christ Jesus that we are. It's who we are. New creation in Christ. I think that's 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn over to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that word creature is talking about something that came into existence from something that didn't exist before. You're a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything has become new. You're not the same person that you used to be. So, realizing this, realizing that that old person is dead and gone, now we have to discover this new identity, who we are in Christ, this new creation that we've become. And again, as I said earlier, from that, once we have that solidified in our hearts, this is who I am. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Look over at Romans 8. Here's some more verses speaking of our new identity. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself or Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you'll remember last week, whenever I was speaking about an identity crisis, that the body of Christ is having an identity crisis, you know, I referred back to the parable of the prodigal son. And how both the prodigal son and the elder brother that stayed home, but he worked trying to earn what was his because he was a son. He was trying to earn it. Well, you can't earn what belongs to you. And if he had only known who he was as a son, as a child of his father, he would have realized a long time ago. If I want to have a party, I can have a party, because my father, he owns it all, and I'm his son, and I have access to it. I can have a party and invite my friends over and kill the fatted calf, because at the end, it's the dad says, it was yours all the time. He simply didn't know who he was. He was focused on what? On his efforts, his works, trying to earn something because he didn't know who he was. He didn't appreciate his identity as the son of his father. He didn't fellowship with his father. Otherwise, had he spent some time with his dad instead of out in the field working, trying to earn his father's favor, if he would have spent time with his father, he would have realized he don't have to try to earn anything. It's already his as a son. But he didn't spend any time with dad. He was out trying to earn his father's favor. And I believe that is what so many Christians are trying to do. They're trying to earn their Father's favor, trying to earn something, when all the time it's theirs. They just don't know it because they haven't spent time with their Father to discover what belongs to them, to discover through this relationship with Him what is theirs already. So they're out trying to do. They're trying to do, instead of be the son that they were born to be. So as we go through this tonight, it's so very important, and I'm saying this to myself also, it's so very important, don't lose sight of who you are. You are a son of the living God. You have died the death of the cross in Jesus. You're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you, but Christ in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves you and gave His life for you. Hallelujah. We're not trying to earn anything with our Father. We're not trying to earn His favor. See, we need to spend time with our Father and develop that relationship with Him. And from that relationship, and we'll see this later, through His Word going inside of us and a transformation taking place, now we're going to be able to find our place in the body that we're to fulfill. But our identity isn't in that place that we're fulfilling, that part of the body that we've been called to fulfill. That's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ, not in what we do for Him. See the difference? See, that's where a lot of ministers make their mistake. And I have to say, for myself, I've been guilty of this. Identifying in what I'm doing for Him instead of maintaining my identity as a son in the body of Christ and seeing myself in Him, crucified with Christ, seeing Him, not what I do for Him, but seeing myself in Him. See, that's the part that we can't do anything about except simply believe. Now, the part about discovering our place in the body, we're going to have a direct effect on that through the renewing of our mind, becoming a living sacrifice. And we'll see this all playing out in Romans chapter 12. But the first part of this, just simply seeing who we are in Christ and seeing the person that we've become in Him is only by revelation from the Holy Ghost where we discover our identity in Him. And again, I can't emphasize this enough, that we should never come to that place where we're identifying what we're doing for Christ instead of identifying in Him, identifying as a child of God, crucified with Christ. See that difference? And that's a huge difference. That I'm telling you what, if you are experiencing the frustration of trying desperately to find out, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And you haven't yet developed that relationship with Him and the identity in Christ, you in Christ, you got the cart in front of the horse. You'll continue to beat your head against the wall because you're trying to identify with the doing instead of with the being the person that you've been born to be as a child of God. God never wanted us to be like that elder brother. He never wanted us try to gain our identity by working out in the field like a slave hand. And so many believers are so guilty of that. It's like they can't rest in the person, in the place that God has made for them in Jesus, where you have to receive it by faith. You can't do anything for it. You didn't deserve it. You can't work for it. It's who you are as a son, and all you can do is believe it and thank God for it. Hallelujah. It's who I am. I didn't deserve this. We all know it. And yet, it's who you are. It's who I am. Sons of God. He's made us this way, and I thank God for it. The old man, the old Mark, died the death of the cross, crucified with Christ. That old person died the death of the cross. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is my identity. Not in what I do for him, not in the call and the place that he's called me to. That's not my identity. My identity is I'm a new creation. I am a son of the living God. This is who I am. Not, we can't confuse. This is who I am, a child of God, son of God, a son of God. I can't confuse that with, okay, this is what I'm called to do in the body. This is my place that I want to fulfill in the body. No. Now, you don't want to confuse that. Because if you do, here's what will happen. You'll start looking at yourself instead of looking at him. Instead of seeing, I couldn't do anything for who I've become. You made me this way. All I did was receive, Jesus, what you did for me. That's all I did. Believe it and receive it. And I thank God for it. Hallelujah. And see, as when you have the revelation inside of you of who you are, you can go boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can approach your Father not based on your actions, not based on whether or not you have done good or done bad, whether you've worked in the field like the older brother, like a slave hand or not. See, there's the problem. People, and I truly believe it is an epidemic. People are trying to approach the Father based on what they're fulfilling their place in the body instead of approaching him based on who they have become as a son of God. Can't do that. And it will always cause you to feel like that elder brother. It'll always cause you to feel like you're trying to earn something from God. You can't earn this. It's who you are. It's who you've been born. So that's the first part of this. And there's some other scriptures that I think that we probably should look at. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And look at these words. And you are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. Boy, I tell you, that's so strong. That is so strong. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Hallelujah. We're not our own. He bought us. He paid for us. Our life has been purchased by the God of the universe coming and putting coming to this earth clothed in human flesh, dying on the cross in our place. He purchased our salvation. He bought us. Thank God for it. Hallelujah, redeemed our life from destruction. Our life is not our own any longer. It's not about us trying to do something to try and please our Father. He's pleased with us when we believe who we are and accept that. We've just pleased Him beyond imagination, just believing that we are who we are. The doing part is just like icing on the cake. Think about that parable once again with the father and the elder brother. Do you think that the father was pleased when the elder brother was back-talking his dad, or however you want to say it? He was fussing at his dad because of the dad throwing the party for the younger brother. Do you think that just made daddy's heart just fill with joy and pleasure? No. You think it filled with joy and pleasure whenever the elder brother was trying to elevate his actions and trying to show his worthiness to have received from the Father based on his actions? Do you think that just filled daddy's heart with joy? No. I mean, can you imagine? You know, your son is trying to convince you of his worthiness for your blessings because of all of his efforts instead of just because he's your son. No, that those efforts aren't going to, that's not going to bless the dad. What blesses the dad is when the son comes in and realizes, hey, I can have a party because I'm your son. I don't have to go and slave in the field to earn something that belongs to me. Now, we will get to the place where we're going to talk about the labor in the field. We will get to talk about that later on here in a few minutes. But that doesn't come first. And that's not what causes us to have favor in our Father's eyes because of our doing. What causes us to gain our Father's pleasure, if you will, is when we recognize who we have become as His sons and discover and identify in the place that we have been born in Christ Jesus. I have to imagine that gives my Father great joy. Just acknowledging, hey, I'm your son. I am your son. You know, we're not talking about Joe Blow here. We're talking about God. The God who created everything has made it possible for each and every one of us to call Him Father. I'll tell you what. The Old Testament believers, the Old Testament, the Jewish nation, they did not call God Father. He was God, Jehovah, and they said it reverentially. They wouldn't even say His whole name because they had such reverence for it. And think about it. We can come boldly into the throne of grace. We're His kids. We come right in. Father God, we love You and worship You. The Jewish nation could not do that. And we've taken it for granted what our Father has made available to us. First of all, the fact that we can call Him our Father. To the Jewish nation, as they followed the cloud by day in the pillar of fire by night, and they built the tabernacle, and God's presence would come in there, only the priest could go and minister in the tabernacle. And then it was only once a year that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And you can offer up today a sacrifice of praise, holy and acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We glorify you. Here is my sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. We're not falling down dead. We have a new covenant, a better covenant that has produced our sonship, our place in God's family. We have been reborn. Glory to God. We're reborn into the family of God. We're His kids. And we can come right into the throne room. We can throw our hands up and worship our Father any time, any day of the week, any time. Just do it. Hallelujah. They couldn't do that under the old covenant. They would have dropped dead. If they would have just, somebody would have just waltzed right into the Holy of Holies, that would have been their last waltz anywhere. They would have died right on the spot. Why was it? They weren't born again. They didn't have what you have. You have a reborn human spirit with the life of God, the nature of God inside of you. You have the Spirit of the living God within you. They never had any of that. They looked at God and He was God. And they looked with reverence, because you never know in those times, you know, how they were going to relate to each other. Sometimes he would give them the directions and they would be disobedient, and He wasn't happy with them when they disobeyed Him. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That covers all of our sins, all of our transgressions. We have it so good, and we have just missed it, not realizing how good we have it, how good God has been to us. He's allowed us to be born in His family and call Him our Father. Not have to work for it. Not have to do anything. Just simply believe. Just believe. Hallelujah. Now, we're about halfway through this message. Now let's turn the page. And let's talk about the doing aspect, discovering our place in His body. See, once we've established our identity is in Christ, that we are members of the body of Christ. See, there's some scriptures that we're going to look at to establish this once again. We're going to look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Paul prays a prayer here in Ephesians 1. And he begins in verse 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is the prayer that he prayed. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling. I've been saying this as a prayer for different people that I know as God lays them on my heart. That we would know the hope of His calling on our lives. When we were reborn into the family of God, we were reborn into a unique place in His body. Now, fulfilling that place in His body doesn't affect my relationship with Him. My relationship with Him is a separate issue from what I do as a member of the body. It's separate. It's just like going back to the parable, the prodigal son and the elder brother. What the elder brother was doing, and now in his case, he was trying to earn his father's favor. But that was, if you could look at that, it was separate from his identity as the son of his father. And in our case, finding out what is the hope of his calling is simply looking to discover, you know, what we are to do as we fulfill the place in the body of Christ that we've been called to when we were born again. It doesn't mean that I'm not trying to earn his favor. I have his favor because I'm his son. What I do as I fulfill the place in his body is a separate issue completely. In other words, if you never fulfill, if you don't care a hoot about discovering your place in the body of Christ, but you love Jesus and you've committed your life to him, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to go be with Jesus for eternity. Glory to God. And there you'll discover something. You will discover that he had a place in his body that he wanted you to fulfill. And based on whether or not you discovered it and fulfilled it, just basically out of obedience to him, you're just following him through obedience, fulfilling the place in the body that he's called you to. If you've done that, there are rewards for your obedience. Now, if you spent your life on this earth, you identified with Jesus as your Savior, and you continued to live your life as you chose to live, when you stand before him, if you have lived according to just your own desires, never really cared about what was the place in his body that he desired for you to fulfill, you'll find when you get to heaven that there will be a time when you will face Jesus and discuss how you spent your life. Not really discuss. He'll talk to you, I believe, is really how it's going to go. And show you, this is how your life, how you lived your life for yourself. You'll either hear you lived it for yourself, or you're going to hear you lived it with your heart committed to the Lord, and you have found and discovered that place in the body, and you walked according to that out of obedience. It's going to be one or the other. Either you live for yourself and it was all about yourself, or you lived with your eyes on him. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. And based on how you chose, you will experience at that moment that fire that's going to come down and it's going to try the works. And it's either going to burn the wood, hay, and the stubble, or it's going to leave the precious jewels and gold, and it's going to leave, if the works were done in obedience to following Jesus, there's going to be something that's going to remain there. And what remains there is going to have an influence on your existence forever. Forever. Well, that's powerful. And if a person simply lived for themselves. Spent, you know, they accepted Jesus. They were just a good person. Nothing wrong with being a good person. They were a good person. They lived their time out on this earth. They went to be with Jesus and did absolutely nothing to discover what it is they were called to do, the place in his body they were called to fulfill. God is going to love you. He can't help himself. He loves us. But he is still going to show us. He'll show you, you know, this is what I intended for you. This was the place I intended you to fulfill in my body. This was the call. This is what that I had ordained for you in my body. But this is what you chose. And the fire will come down and it will just roast all of the works that were done in the flesh, and there will be nothing left. And he'll wipe away your tears, and he will welcome you into eternity. And I'm telling you something. I want there to be something on that altar when the fire lifts, representing the good choices that I made to follow Jesus. Not to try and do something that I thought would be he would like. See, that goes back to the elder brother. I'm going to choose what I think God will like. That'll get you nowhere fast. You're better off just to surrender. Surrender to him. Follow him obediently. And allow him to direct you to what he has for your life. Because that's what's going to produce eternal results. Hallelujah. And that's what we want. That's what we're here for. We're here to not just and fellowshipping with him is the most important. But even in addition to that, to fellowship with him and to be a blessing to other people while we're here. To bless people. That's why I do this. I don't do this live stream, making these teachings available for myself. Although I tell you, when I edit these, I get blessed just listening to them because it's the Holy Ghost speaking through me. But I do this because this is what God directed me to do. And I do it out of obedience. And I know that this blesses him. But I'm not trying to earn anything from it. Because my relationship with him, my fellowship with him, that's what's the most important in my life. Not what I do, but who I am. Amen. All right, so let's go over to Romans chapter 12. I spoke about this already. Romans 12. Here we're going to discover, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he wrote about how it is that we can discover what our place is in the body. And so many people are wanting to know this. And if you get the order correct, and the first thing that you focus on is being the Son of God that you are. From that, you can walk into Romans chapter 12 and discover your place in the body and fulfill that place and be a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. And it starts with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's this is your reasonable service. And one translation speaks of it like your normal Christian duty. To present your body a living sacrifice. Notice it wasn't your spirit. It's your body. It's the part of you that did not get born again that he's referring to here. That part gets offered up. This is the part, if we could see the spirit man versus the spirit man, the part of you that gets born again versus the part of you that doesn't get born again. The part of you, the spirit, is a part that's going to follow God without question. The part of you that didn't get born again is the part of you that is going to want to go the other direction. Unless it has gone through this metamorphosis that Paul talks about here in Romans 12, through the renewing of your mind, not being conformed to this world. See, as the spirit man goes towards God, and the part of you that didn't get born again tries to go the other direction, it's going the other direction because it is conformed to this world. Conformed to this world. You're conformed to it. When you come out of the womb, and the first thing that begins to happen is you begin to conform to the world, the things that are around you. We get born again, we're so conformed to the world. And so God is wanting us to follow him, and here we are with the part of us not born again, wanting to go the other direction. There has to be a change in the part of you that didn't get born again, and that change is going to happen through what? The renewing of your mind. It will cause a transformation to take place. And gradually, instead of going the other direction, you're going, that part of you that didn't get born again is going to begin to follow along with your spirit man. Hallelujah. Well, that answers so many things right there. And it begins with you making the commitment to be that living sacrifice. And it's not one of those commitments that you're going to make and you're going to do it once and that's all. I remember when 25 years ago making a commitment to God. And I'm telling you, there's times that over the course of these 25 years that I've had to not recommit. I don't say it that way. But just reaffirm my commitment to him. See, there are a lot of people, well, I'm just going to get recommitted like they weren't committed before. No, I committed everything when I gave everything to Jesus. But there's been times along the way that I had to reaffirm my commitment to him. And there's been times that, yeah, I've tried to crawl off of the altar, if you will. Notice it's a sacrifice. You try to crawl off the altar, and you had to take that flesh and throw it back up there again, time and time again, because it's tried to get away. Because it doesn't want to give up. I'm telling you, that's the part of you, and it will always be there to some degree until you go be with Jesus. That flesh, it's going to want to go the other direction. It's not going to want to follow God. It's a constant putting it in subjection to the spirit man. And well, it's just one of those things that you're going to have to come to grips with. It's just the way it is. So let's look here. We'll get real far here in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. This is what we want right here. We want to prove this. What is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God? The perfect, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. I want the perfect will of God. Is it possible, Mark? Yes, it is. But it takes going through this becoming of a living sacrifice and transformation of your mind with the Word of God. The transformation that takes place through the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. It takes going through this. And as you go through it, you're going to prove what's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. I heard a minister say this, and I believe it's true. You're not going to be a living sacrifice, and you're not going to go through the renewing of your mind and fail to know the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will. You can't do it. If you do A and B, you'll get C. If you make yourself a living sacrifice, if you renew your mind with the Word of God, you will discover the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, you say, well, I've been renewing my mind. Did you make that commitment to be the living sacrifice first? See, that's the beginning point here, as in going through this process of discovering your place in His body. First, you have to lay everything down and continue to lay it down. Even when the flesh wants to get up and walk off the altar, you got to slap it back down again. Continue to put the Word of God in through the renewing of your mind, so that you prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. Well, if you do these things, you will end up with the result that God said that we would have. Now, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, I like to get into the measure of faith, and I don't think I'm going to be able to right here. I need to go on and read verse 4. But just keep that in your mind, the measure of faith. What is that measure of faith? Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us." Let's stop right there. Having gifts differing according to the grace given to us. What are we talking about? We're talking about being the place in His body that He's called us to, and having the grace to fulfill that is so important that you realize whatever God's called you to fulfill in that part of His body, whether it's a minister or non-minister, whatever it is, a place in His body that He's called you to fulfill, each person has a unique place in the body of Christ to fulfill. And each person has been given grace from God to enable them to fulfill that place. Now let me go back and just drop this in. The measure of faith. The measure of faith is in direct proportion to what it is that He's called you to do. He's empowered us and given us His ability through grace by faith to fulfill these particular unique places in his body that only you're going to be able to fulfill. But it's going to be not through your power or your ability. It's going to be his ability, his grace, and the measure of faith to fulfill that place that he has allotted to you. Glory to God. And how do you discover this? First, you become a living sacrifice, and you go through the process of the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And what you'll discover as you go through this, what you'll discover is the thing that he has called you to do is going to be the very thing that you desire to do the most. You won't miss it. He's not keeping this from you. He wants you to know what it is that he has called you to do, the place in his body that he's called you to fulfill. It will give you the most fulfillment of anything in your whole life, finding and discovering this. He wants you to know it. He's not keeping this from us, but in order to discover it, we must become the living sacrifice, and we must go through this process of the renewing of our mind. So important. And if we'll do this, we will discover this place in his body, and the grace and the faith necessary to fulfill this place is there. It's there. Praise God. So let me just go back and bring this point out once again. It's not about what we do for him. It's about understanding and identifying, recognizing our identity is in Christ. I am in him. I am a son of the living God. That's who I am. What I do is a completely separate thing from who I am. I'm not trying to earn anything with my actions because I can't earn this. There's nothing I can do to earn what Jesus has made me. All I can do is just worship him and thank him and fellowship with him and rejoice in who he's made me. But as I lay down my life as that living sacrifice and renew my mind with the word, I'm going to prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and I'm going to walk directly into everything that he's called me to and fulfill that place in his body. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for this message. And I believe, Father, that this message, I believe it is so important for the body of Christ to hear it. And I believe that if they'll hear it and do it, it will change their life. And I pray for this person right here that's listening. Heavenly Father, help them. Help them to realize that they've been trying to do instead of be. I thank you, Father, for who you've made us. And I pray that we'll simply discover the person that we are in Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.